My dearly beloved in Christ, today we celebrate the wonderful feast day of the Most Holy Trinity, which is that profound mystery of our faith that we believe and accept on faith, even though we cannot understand it. This mystery teaches us that although there is only one God, there are in God the three divine persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three divine persons are equal to one another. They are co-eternal. Neither one is higher or more powerful or more important than another. So the three divine persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and yet only one God. And there was a heresy in the early centuries called Sabellianism. And that was a heresy that the names Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are just different ways of thinking about God. So when we think about him as creator, we say the Father, and as the Redeemer, the Son, and so forth. And that heresy was condemned because there are three distinct persons in God. How can that be? We cannot understand it. Again, it is a mystery of our faith. And because this mystery is so profound and difficult to accept, at least in the Old Testament, when the chosen people were surrounded by idolatrous nations that believed in many gods, pantheism, as a result, God did not reveal it to the chosen people. He revealed many other things, but he did not reveal the mystery of the Trinity, although there are hints, we might say, of this mystery, even in the Old Testament. On one occasion, God sent three angels in the guise of men to Abraham to remind him of the promise and to tell him that the promise would come through his descendants, the promise of the Redeemer. But it says in Scripture that there were the three angels, the three men, and that Abraham worshiped them as one. So he somehow understood that they were united. And they represented, of course, Almighty God, and they gave him a message from God. But although there, again, were certain indications or hinting of a sort of plurality in God, this was not revealed until the New Testament. And we find the first mention of the Holy Trinity in the Annunciation, where the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary to tell her that she had been chosen to be the mother of God. And the angel said, "The power of the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee, and therefore the Holy One to be born shall be called the Son of God." So that was the first mention we see in Scripture of the three divine persons. So we could say that our Blessed Mother was the first to learn of this mystery. And then, of course, our Lord in his public life often spoke of his Father and of the Holy Ghost. And we find references, these references to the Father and the Holy Ghost, and our Lord saying, "He who sees me sees the Father, I and the Father are one," and so forth, and that the Holy Ghost would proceed from him and from the Father. We see these references, especially in the fourth gospel, the Gospel of St. John. So what does the church teach about this mystery of the Trinity? That the Father begets the Son, and the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and the Son. And this is what we call the procession of persons in the Trinity. But this does not imply, again, any superiority, because all three divine persons are eternal. All three are divine, consubstantial, and co-eternal. And again, it is a mystery, a supernatural mystery. We cannot understand it. And even in heaven, when we see God face to face, we will not be able to fully comprehend God. Of course, when we think about the Holy Trinity, we think about who God is. According to the Catechism, God is the supreme being who made all things and keeps them in existence. And we know that God always was and always will be. He did not have a beginning and, of course, will not have an end. God existed from all eternity. And out of his goodness, he created men. He created this vast universe. And he created rational beings, angels and men, to share his happiness. Goodness is a quality that wants to give to others. And so God, in his goodness, willed to create mankind, to create the angels, to create the universe for us, that we might work out our salvation and thus be happy with him, merit to be happy with him forever in heaven. As we reflect upon Almighty God, let us also call to mind that God cannot change. St. Thomas Aquinas teaches that creatures are composed of, you might say, action, as he puts it in Latin, actus and potentia. We are active, we do things, we think, etc. But we also have this potentia, or ability to change, the potential. We get the word, English word potential, from that Latin word potentia, the ability to become something different. We can grow in grace. In fact, we are always changing. We are getting older, as every day we from time to time get sick and then recover. We're changing all the time. But God cannot change. He is the supreme being, perfect in himself, and is always the same. If God could change, then he would either become less perfect, which is unthinkable, or he would become better or more perfect. But that cannot be either. God is always the same and always perfect and has all perfections in an infinite degree. So on the Feast of the Holy Trinity, we try to reflect upon who God is and admire and adore his infinite majesty. And let us give thanks to him for our creation. Our creation, our redemption, and our sanctification through baptism and the reception of grace. How good God is. We are destined to be with him in heaven forever. Let us work out our salvation that we might merit that happiness which he has in store for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.